Welcome, everyone. This is Corinne Zupko, and I can't tell you the gratitude that I feel right now that so many of you are joining together to heal our minds, our commitment to heal our perceptions, and to remember the love that we truly are. Let's begin our session together this evening. We'll be exploring the situation with the election that just occurred in the States, with the election of Trump and the reactions that have come up for many of us, some being horrified and some being delighted. So we're going to look at this from a Course in Miracles perspective. I'm really going to try to stay very true to the Course and very hardcore. So this is your warning that this, I'm bringing the full metaphysics of A Course in Miracles into this, because as I said in my post, a couple of my posts about this, I can't just dabble in this material. I have to take it all the way. Otherwise, it doesn't help me. I need to take it all the way. I need to get hardcore in order for it to help me. So I'm thrilled that you're here with me to do the same. So before we begin, let's drop in. I invite you to allow your eyes to close, sitting in a comfortable position, and turning attention within, bringing attention to a sense of love in your own heart, and bringing attention to your own sense of willingness. This willingness is why we're here. This is a willingness to understand truth. This is a willingness to open our minds. And this willingness is a willingness to experience miracles, those shifts in perception that teach us that only love is real. So connecting with this sense of willingness within and offering this willingness to your inner teacher, however it is you feel connected or that you understand your own inner teacher, whether it's the word God, Holy Spirit, intuition, higher self, offering your willingness to your inner teacher and asking for the miracle instead, as we are willing to see differently. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out as we sit and breathe. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit, our inner teacher, gives. And we place our inner teacher in charge tonight, so we can trust that we'll hear what we need to hear. If we need to hear it again, there's the replay. And we'll trust that we'll share whatever it is that we need to share. So with the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So again, welcome everybody. Welcome everyone who's just called in. We're doing our call tonight a bit differently in that I'm going to be doing some sharing for a bit. I have 6 pages of typed notes, so I have a lot I want to say. And I have some ground rules first to begin with. There's a lot of intense emotion happening surrounding recent events, surrounding this election. I'm making an assumption that there are people from both sides of the camps on this call, that there are folks who were horrified by the outcome of the election, and there were folks also who were delighted by the outcome of the election. Whatever side it is that we fall on, we're here because of our joint interest in healing the mind, in willingness, and in this Course in Miracles path. So just a reminder to everybody who has just dialed in, you're on mute right now. Later on, after I do some sharing, I'll open it up for questions. I'm going to stick with A Course in Miracles. Your warning is that I'm going to get very hardcore with the metaphysics, because this is not just about choosing love on the level of form. That's beautiful when we do that, but we're going to go deeper than that. Personally, This has been a big trigger for me. I woke up 3:30 a.m. on, I guess, election night, and had an intense amount of fear surrounding the outcome. But I saw immediately that this was a chance to use the situation for healing. In addition to my history with anxiety, as many of you know, that's what brought me to the course, Trump might end up being one of my greatest teachers, and he perhaps might be one of your greatest teachers too. So again, whatever side of the camp it is that you fall on. When I woke up at 3:30 a.m., I later actually found out from a friend, Sonia, who might be on this call, that both she and Myron Jones, another teacher of A Course in Miracles, and I'm sure there were more, were all awakened at the same time. We all woke up at 3:30 a.m., which was very interesting for me to learn after the fact, because it was as if we were all being called to come to remember truth in a world that was freaking out. So I want to open with a quote from the Course. This is from the Manual for Teachers in the introduction. Into this hopeless and closed learning situation, which teaches nothing but despair and death, God sends his teachers. And as they teach his lessons of joy and hope, their learning finally becomes complete. A teacher of God is anyone who chooses to be one. That means you. And so as we teach these lessons of joy and hope, our learning becomes complete. We have a job to do. We've been sent into the darkness. We haven't actually been sent. We've chosen to come. And it's our job to bring light. So here we go. A Course in Miracles is not just leading us to wake up in the dream. It's leading us to wake up from it. This means that the Course's teaching is that this world is an illusion. This world is a dream. We're in a collective dream where we're hiding out from God because we'd rather play with separation and division. With that comes conflict, fear, sickness, all those things from the ego. We'd rather play with that instead of being the light and love and truth and oneness that we all are. So the Course is a pathway not just to awaken in the dream, but to actually awaken from it, to undo the belief that there is a separate world. Now, if this rouses any fear in you, I really encourage you to notice that and look at that with Holy Spirit. As I share, as we open it up and we all share in the call later, I encourage you that if you notice that you're triggered in any way, if you notice some kind of reaction arise, look at that with Holy Spirit, with inner teacher. That's why it's coming up. And this is all happening. There's no mistakes. This is all happening, with Trump and the election, because it's an opportunity to heal. So a quote actually comes to mind from my dear friend, Amy Torres, who I'm paraphrasing. I don't have her beautiful words in front of me, but she said something to the effect that the awareness of her body is thinning like the heel of a threadbare sock. And if you think about the heel of a threadbare sock, it thins away. Just you can see more and more of the thread. This applies to the world too. The density of this physical world, as we practice these principles, the density of this world thins, and the light behind it becomes clearer and clearer in our awareness as we're ready to go there. It doesn't happen before we're ready. It's only as we're ready. So through practicing this, our goal is to be able to begin to see the truth beyond the form, the love beyond the form, because the form's purpose is to hide the love. And we could say that for any given situation in the world that triggers us or arouses fear, the purpose of it is to hide love from our awareness. So another hardcore teaching from the Course is that it's not about making a better planet so we can make a comfy home here. In other words, it's not about keeping the ego comfortable. It's about undoing the belief that there is a separate world, that there is a world of separation. And again, if that arouses any fear, look at that with Holy Spirit. So just to repeat that, the Course isn't about making a better illusion. It's about undoing it to the truth and the love that lies beyond it. So I want to share a Course quote here. This is from lesson 132. And I'll read this slowly just so we can absorb these words. So again, this is in lesson 132. It says, there is no world. And again, that means there is no world of this separation, of this seeming separation. There is no world. This is the central thought that the Course attempts to teach. Not everyone is ready to accept it, and each one must go as far as he can let himself be led along the road to truth. He will return and go still farther, or perhaps step back a while and then return again. But healing is the gift of those who are prepared to learn there is no world and can accept the lesson now. So here I want to highlight that last sentence again. Healing is the gift of those who are prepared to learn there is no world and can accept the lesson now. So it doesn't mean that, you know, poof, the body goes away as we learn this. It means that we learn to use the body as a means of awakening, as a means of remembering truth, as we repurpose everything we see by giving what we see, our perceptions, our beliefs, to our inner teacher, what the Course calls Holy Spirit, whatever word you want to use, and we get back that shift in perception instead. And I know I might be going kind of fast, so again, please remember that there'll be the recording of the call also. If I say something and you want to talk about it later, if you want to ask a question, just jot it down because I'm going to be saying a lot. And again, I'm structuring our call this way tonight because I really feel very strongly moved to get through all this. So we're motivated to study A Course in Miracles because we want to find and maintain peace, right? I think most of us are drawn, I think all of us are drawn to this path because we've experienced some pain in some form. And we want peace. We want peace again. But again, the Course is not about finding and maintaining peace within a separate self. Peace comes from learning that you are not a separate self. Peace comes from learning and knowing that you're not a body, that what you are cannot die, cannot be sick, cannot suffer. Peace comes as we return to that identity that we all share. So that's an important piece to keep in mind. This is not just about keeping Corinne peaceful. This is not just about keeping the ego comfortable. The work is about undoing the ego dream of fear, as my friend and teacher, Nook Sanchez, she talks about undoing the ego a lot. I think that's the name of her website. So just to share a Course quote along the lines about our motivation for peace, it says, forget not that the motivation for this Course is the attainment and the keeping of the state of peace. Given this state, the mind is quiet, and the condition in which God is remembered is attained. So how beautiful. All right. I want to pause here and just welcome folks who have joined us recently. We are diving into the deep teachings of A Course and applying this to the recent election and all of the feelings that have come up for all of us surrounding that. I'll open up the line for questions later, but I'm just going to keep going at this point. And so just a reminder, take notes if you need to, if you want to ask a question or have something clarified later. So I want to start again with another Course quote. This is a big one. So I want to take this nice and slow. This Course quote is, seek not outside yourself, for it will fail and you will weep each time an idol falls. I'm going to read that again in just a moment, but first I want to define what an idol is. An idol is anything that you substitute for the love of God. It's anything that you believe that you need to make you happy. It's anything you think that's outside of yourself that you think you need to keep you safe. So an idol is anything you substitute for God. So I want to read this quote again. Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. If you experienced horror at the outcome of this election, it was because an idol fell. that idol, we can look at this in a few different ways, but the idol was a belief that this country could turn out okay, or that it could keep us safe based on who was elected, or that this country or this world is just or rational, or, you know, whatever we want to say. That idol fell. And I think, and that is why so many of us had felt like we had the rug yanked out from under us. It was a feeling that we could stay comfortable if one person was elected, and instead somebody else was elected. And so it was as if the rug was yanked out. It was an idol that fell. And again, seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. So this is big. This is really big. Let the idol fall. This is beautiful for those of us that were triggered by the election. This gives us a chance to look at the fact that we did place belief that the outside picture could keep us safe, or that it mattered. And our task is to look to God. Our task is to look to love with a capital L instead of to the picture. So this is our chance to remember this. And on the flip side, I want to, again, address the people who might have experienced joy at the outcome of this election. Or if you would have experienced joy had Hillary been elected, this means that your idol, your substitute for God, is remaining in place. So in other words, if you're delighted that Trump is in power, your idol, your substitute for God, remains in place. Let that idol fall. Had Hillary been elected, we would not have, for those of us who felt triggered, we would not have the opportunity that we have to look at this idol, to let it fall, and to really, really motivate us to look within. So be willing to look at that idol with Holy Spirit. This is showing us that we had a belief that something outside of us can keep us safe in many different ways, and I could use a lot of different words there. I'm just picking safety as one of them. Be willing to look at that belief with Holy Spirit, because your safety lies in God and God alone. Your safety lies in God and God alone. I wrote something here which actually makes me kind of laugh that it came forward as I was preparing for this before. No politician can fix the separation by fixing the world. No politician can fix the separation by fixing the world. Undoing the separation, restoring our belief, restoring our awareness of love's presence means that we are the ones that work to undo our false beliefs in our mind through Holy Spirit. So that was what came forward about idols. I have another course quote that I want to share here. And before we dive into that quote, we look for heaven in the external picture all the time. In other words, we look for heaven, we look for our happiness outside of ourselves in the external picture all the time. We, you know, if this happens, then I'll be happy. If I have enough money in my retirement account, then I'll feel safe. This is just what we do here. This is just what we do here, and that's important to keep in mind, because we came to search. And the Course says, if you came to search, search you must. So I want to share another quote from Lesson 131 in the Course in Miracles. And the name of the lesson is, "No one can fail who seeks to reach the truth." So here we go. "Yet searching is inevitable here. For this you came, and you will surely do the thing you came for. But the world cannot dictate the goal for which you search unless you give it power to do so. Otherwise, you still are free to choose a goal that lies beyond the world." So just to repeat that again, searching is inevitable here, for this we came and this we will do because it's what we came for. But the world can't dictate the goal. The world can't dictate what it is that we're searching for unless we give it the power to do so. Therefore, we have the choice to choose a goal that's beyond the world. And that goal is love with a capital L, the love of God, our awareness of our oneness. So this quote goes on, "Be glad that search you must. Be glad as well to learn you search for heaven and must find the goal you really want. No one can fail to want this goal and reach it in the end. God's Son, which is all of us, cannot seek vainly, though he can try to force delay, deceive himself, and think that it is hell he seeks. When he is wrong, he finds correction. When he wanders off, he is led back to his appointed task. No one remains in hell, for no one can abandon his Creator, nor affect his perfect, timeless, and unchanging love. You will find heaven. Everything you seek but this will fall away, yet not because it has been taken from you. It will go because you do not want it. You will reach the goal you really want as certainly as God created you in sinlessness. Why wait for heaven? It is here today. And I'm going to pause there on the quote. So again, that was from lesson 131, No One Can Fail Who Seeks to Reach the Truth. So we've come to search. We can choose to look straight to what it is that we're actually searching for, which is God, which is love. And we will reach this goal because we really want it. It takes big wake-up calls. It takes the feeling of the rug being yanked out from under us in whatever form that may take for us to seek for a different way. And so this situation with the election is just a divine opportunity for healing instead. So we came to search outside of ourselves. We'll try and try again to make it okay out there. But as that picture out there continually doesn't satisfy us, we'll choose God. We'll eventually come back to choosing God. And I know many of us are at this point where we are there. You know, we're willing to look to God. We're willing to question everything. Now, here's another really, 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 really important point. When I woke up at 3:30 a.m. in the morning, the night of the election, and just felt more fear than I had felt in a long time, I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to have a panic attack? Like, it was that intense. This was the thought that dropped that anxiety in an instant. And I found my peace again, and I was able to go back to sleep, which I didn't think I was going to be able to do. Whether you were horrified at the outcome of the election, or delighted, this is what we have to know. The extent to which that outcome hooks us, being horrified or delighted, is a reflection of the extent to which you believe in separation. So in other words, your feelings, the intensity of your feelings in either direction is showing you your investment in the external picture, your investment, your belief that things out there need to be a certain way for you to be okay. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. Take heart. If fear is present, or the other feeling of joy, based on an external picture, this is showing you your belief in separation, and this is the opportunity for healing. So all we do here, again, as miracle workers, the process of forgiveness, I like to think about that as forgiving to Holy Spirit. We withhold nothing. So we own it, we notice what's coming up, we get that into that willingness that we touched upon in our opening meditation, and we ask for the miracle instead. So I just want to repeat that to make sure that we got that. The extent to which the outcome hooks us is a reflection of the extent to which we believe that we are separate. It's a reflection of the extent to which I believe that I'm Corinne. It's a reflection of the extent to which you believe you are. Insert your name. And so this is a beautiful opportunity. We have to look at our belief in separation in order to allow it to be undone. We have to look at that belief in separation with Holy Spirit to ask for the miracle instead. This is how healing happens. I do want to acknowledge that there's a course quote that is just so profound for me, and it's nothing so blinding as perception of form. For the sight of form means understanding has been obscured. So let me just read that again. Nothing is so blinding as perception of form. For sight of form means understanding has been obscured. This again goes to the Course's teaching that this external picture arose to hide the love, the oneness, the truth that is all-encompassing. This external picture is so compelling. It's, you know, with bodies, with physical things, it's sensory. It's so compellingly real that it's set up to keep us asleep. It's set up to keep us from looking beyond. And it's not looking beyond it with the body's eyes. It's a different vision that we learn how to use, a vision more that comes from in my own body. I sense it more in my heart. It's this new vision that we're learning how to use that teaches us that love beyond the form is what our truth is. So another point that I want to make is to think of the ego as a coin, a penny, a dime, a quarter, any kind of coin. And there are two sides to that coin. This is the duality that we're in. There's the good of the world on one side and the bad of the world on the other. There's the love of the world on one side and the hate of the world on the other. And I'm not talking about love of God on one side. I'm talking about love of the ego, or, you know, a love that's based on separation and not the love of God in that example, with love and hate being two sides of the same coin. So add in our current situation, Trump on one side, Hillary on the other, two sides of the same ego coin. Republican on one side, Democrat on the other, two sides of the same ego coin. It's all there as a grand, you know, ego setup to keep us believing that this is real. And the Course talks about how the script is written, that the ego, the moment we had that tiny mad idea that we wanted to be separate from source, the ego wrote the script of separation and to keep it convincingly real. And that's what's playing out right now. So if you get angry and judgmental at voters who voted for Trump, or if you're okay, you know, with that, or you know, if you get really triggered by his racism, xenophobia, misogyny, know that that judgment that comes up in you is the same judgment that perhaps some of his supporters who maybe buy into the racism, the hate, it's the same judgment that they have in them. It's the other side of the same coin. So I just want to repeat that again. The anger and judgment that comes up in us at voters who supported him, or at, you know, his racism, his misogyny, that anger and judgment that rises in our awareness is the same. It's the other side of the same ego coin of his feelings of, you know, of racism, of anybody who would support those types of things. It's two sides of the same coin, which is hard to own because we don't want to, the good, you know, not being racist, being loving, we want to think that obviously that's better than the other side. But when we're engaged on this level of form with the judgment and with the fear that we're righteous, you know, our perspective is right, that's where we get caught in it being the other side of the same ego coin. Obviously, there is a love that we are learning to remember that transcends all of that. That love and peace and acceptance and compassion and oneness is not part of that coin. That's what we're learning how to own. So again, if we have that anger and judgment come up toward Trump, toward those supporters who support the racism, the xenophobia, whatever it may be, choose again, look at that with Holy Spirit. Notice that it's coming up and look at it with Holy Spirit. Another point I want to make, and we're making progress through my notes, so I do promise we'll have time to open this up for you all to share, because I really want to hear your insights as well. It's important to remember, you know, it always helps me when something horrible happens in the world, a shooting, a natural disaster, a terrorist attack, this election, the picture of the world has always been a brutal picture. If you think about it, in history, there's always been war. There's always been conflict. There's always been suffering. It's the nature of the world, again, because that's so compellingly painful that we're going to get caught in it and not go beyond it. So it's important to remember that, you know, that pain of the world has always been there. There's a Course quote that comes to mind. And I have it here. It says, the world has not yet experienced any comprehensive reawakening or rebirth. Such a rebirth is impossible as long as you continue to project or miscreate. It still remains within you, however, to extend as God extended his spirit to you. In reality, this is your only choice because your free will was given you for your joy in creating the perfect. So this is where our job as miracle workers comes in, because our job as miracle workers is to accept atonement for ourselves. And by atonement, the Course is referring to the undoing of fear in our own minds. So it's our job as miracle workers to allow our beliefs and our perceptions to be replaced with love, to experience those miracles. That is our sole responsibility. And I felt moved actually now to just touch on a couple of the references in the Course to our sole responsibility, because I think this is really, really important that we remember, although we may be called to act in the world, to take an advocacy role in any issue that's out there, it is still our sole responsibility to accept the undoing of fear in our mind, because as we do that, miracles are not just for us. Miracles are for others as well. The Course says that when you experience healing yourself, it uses the actual example, a bird somewhere with broken wings begins to sing. We can't possibly understand the implications of our undoing fear in our own mind and how that affects others, because, you know, we're still limited to these sensory perceptions, but we are in truth all one. And so there is only one mind. There's only one ego. So as we allow in our own mind, we do our part to let our fears be undone, to be replaced with the awareness of love's presence, we are affecting the whole. So we need to remember that as we do this work, we are changing the world. So again, references to our sole responsibility. This is from chapter 7. I'm actually looking at a reference in the original edition. Chapter 7, part 9. It says, do not be afraid of the ego. It does depend on your mind, and as you made it by believing in it, so you can dispel it by withdrawing belief from it. Do not project the responsibility for your belief in it onto anyone else, or you will preserve the belief. So in other words, I'll pause here before I keep reading the quote. We've accepted the ego into our minds. We're responsible for that. If we judge that another is wrong because they didn't do what they wanted them to do, we're preserving the belief in ego. The Course actually says, if you perceive or correct the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seeing through yours. And that's always a kicker for me. Like, oh, you know, the Course doesn't let us get away with anything. It's our task to allow the ego to be undone in our own mind, to literally become the light. So I'm going to keep going with this quote here. When you are willing to accept sole responsibility for the ego's existence yourself, you will have laid aside all anger and all attack because they come from an attempt to project responsibility for your own errors. But having accepted the errors as your own, do not keep them. Give them over quickly to the Holy Spirit to be undone completely, so that all their effects will vanish from your mind and from the sonship as a whole. So I just want to repeat that again. This is saying, once we own that the ego is coming from me, once we own that what I see, the perceptions that I see, the projections that I see are coming from my own mind, there's no cause for guilt there. We give that immediately over to the Holy Spirit to be undone completely. We can say, I'm hooked, Holy Spirit. I'm feeling the judgment. I'm feeling the anger. I've chosen to see through the ego's eyes. Now I give this to you. And like I said already, we're all healed as a result of this. Even if we might not see that reflection in form, it's happening. Miracles occur. Our belief in the picture of a brutal world thins away, like Amy said before when I shared that quote, like a threadbare sock. And our perception is healed. Our perception goes back. Our perception expands, let's say, and we perceive a growing awareness of truth, and eventually that perception is no longer needed and is replaced by knowledge. It's just replaced by knowing that God is, that love is. So again, the course quote that I have been sort of referencing is that the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept atonement for himself. The course goes on to say later, the sole responsibility of God's teacher is to accept atonement for himself. Atonement means correction or the undoing of errors. So just a few thoughts here that I'll add. And again, I'll pause and just welcome the folks who have joined us. I'll be opening up the line shortly for sharing, for questions. We have to look at our own minds with spirit. We have to look at everything, our urges to attack, our urges to judge. It's been helpful for me lately to even look at my own privilege. So I'm Caucasian, looking at my own white privilege, heterosexual privilege, whatever privileges it is that I have, I've been looking at those with Holy Spirit. And it's been, I can't tell you just how helpful that's been, that I haven't been afraid to go there. We're leaving nothing to the ego. Anything in our mind, we are willing to question. We're willing to look at it all with Holy Spirit. And this is how we bring all those dark hidden spots in our mind to Holy Spirit to be undone and replaced with love. So I'm kind of feeling, I have a little bit more, which I can share later, but I'm actually feeling prompted to pause here. And I feel prompted to open the line. I'm going to invite you to now, if you want to share, if you have a question, please press *6 to put yourself into the Q&A queue, and I'll take you off of mute. I think, again, that's going to be the best way to preserve the clarity of the line. So I shared a lot. I shared a heck of a lot. And this work that we are doing is leading us. I like thinking about this as this leading us to a state similar to lucid dreaming. Have you ever experienced when you're dreaming at night and you know that you're dreaming? You just have that, you know that you're dreaming. It's a lucid dream. The course is bringing us there. That aware, it actually says there's a course quote. I have it right here. Awareness of dreaming is the real function of God's teachers. How awesome is that? So I see we have some folks in the queue. As I take you off of mute, I'm going to leave you off if you want to keep chiming in. So feel free to re-mute yourself. Paula, you are up.
I just wanted to add this because I also woke up at 3:30 in the morning.
Did you really?
Yes, absolutely. I watched till about 11 o'clock at night, and I knew it was going downhill. I woke up and it was like, oh, my God, this man is going to win. I just knew it. All right, this is what I want to say. This helped me tremendously, and you know I've been saying this a lot lately. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using Donald Trump to attack myself and separate from your love. And if I said it once, I said it 20 times and until I was back to sleep, and it's helped me tremendously with this.
That's awesome, Paula. I'm so grateful for the reminder. That's such a powerful prayer.
Because that's
awesome.
What we're doing. We are literally attacking ourselves every time we buy into this nonsense.
Right, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So that's enough from me.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to leave you off of mute, so you're welcome to mute your line from your end. I don't know if it's going to make a difference with you pressing *6, so if you have a mute button, that can work. But thank you so much. Next caller, I think, is Elisheva. You're up.
Hi. So first off, I am in a place that has some background noise, so you'll hear background noise until I finish speaking. I'll go right back on mute.
Okay. Thanks. No problem.
So first off, thank you for this call. When I saw that you were doing it, I was just like, yes, I'm all in. So, to speak to what you were saying, I can resonate. I woke up just devastated, bawling my eyes out. And once I got through just the emotion, the initial shock, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what is this about? What is it you're trying to show me? And what came up for me was, is it possible that I have been perceiving my sense of worth through the eyes of what this quote-unquote America says about me as a woman, as a black woman, as a whatever other minority group I might fit into? And what hit me is yeah, you have been. So here's an opportunity to see the truth, which is the way that God perceives you. And I said, okay, so what I have been doing for the last, 24, 48 hours is just saying every time something came up in me to say, oh, this person doesn't like me, or, I'm a woman and I'm a black woman and all these just emotions that are going on in me, I went back and I said, okay, so what's the truth? The truth is you are spirit. The truth is you are love. The truth is, and just so I said, okay, God, okay, I get it. Here's, to speak to your point about, the election being our teacher, that's what has been, rising up in me. And one more other thing, I was talking with my son, who's 9 years old. He was, disappointed. And he asked questions like, well, why? Because he's been following the news and hearing all the stuff out there that Trump has been saying. And another thing that came up for me, I felt a bit of embarrassed. Like, I felt like my mom, I felt like I've been kicked off kind of my high horse of being mom and knowing all the answers. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, okay, what is this about? What are you trying to show me? And what came up for me is you are attaching your words to what you believe is your authority as a mother and being able to say the right thing. So, so those are two main things, and it's been emotional as it has been for all of us. And but I am embracing the teaching that is coming to me, and not saying that it's easy, but I am so open to the process. So that's it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, Alisheba. I love what you said, and I love that thought about thinking of the way that God perceives you. Oh my gosh, like that's the vision. That's the vision we're looking for. That's it. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm embracing the teaching too, and letting this all be a teacher. Wonderful. Thank you so much. So Margarita, now you're up.
Hi, Corinne.
Hi.
I'm really struggling with, I do believe that you're the teachings of, the fact that we're all part of each other. And with that, though, I'm feeling a lot of shame that part of myself are people who are like racist or bigots or misogynists. And this is also a part of me if we're all part of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really struggling with that part, because if that's true, then I'm kind of hating a part of myself right now.
Mm.
And I know that the teaching is supposed to be about love, but it's, I'm trying to accept that we're all part of each other, but then it's hard for me to accept that part of me. So I don't know if I'm making sense or talking.
You
about
are making perfect sense, and you are touching on something so deep and so important to look at. That shame, that guilt, A Course in Miracles is teaching us that we feel unconscious, massive guilt for having believed that we've separated from our source. And that unconscious guilt stays hidden because the world, bodies, everything that I talked about before being so blinding keeps us from looking at that guilt, which is holding this whole picture in place in the first place. So that shame that you're touching on, and I'm using, the word guilt interchangeably, that shame that you feel, look at that with Holy Spirit. Just like it says in one of these earlier quotes that I read, don't keep it. Get it immediately over and be willing to see it differently. That prayer that Paula shared just before, I want to repeat that again, because that can be really, really, really helpful here, because, that ugliness that we see in the world is is a reflection of, you know, our own belief in separation. It is the ugliness that we're capable of within. And there's actually no cause for guilt there. Okay. Instead, repurposing it, giving it to spirit to be undone, that's how we undo it. That's, we have to look at the shame and the guilt as it pops up in our awareness for it to be undone. So that prayer, Holy Spirit, or whatever word you're comfortable with, help me to forgive myself for using blank to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. So you're touching on the fact that this is all about self-forgiveness. This is all about forgiving ourselves for what we did not even do. We think we did, you know, we think we did these horrible things or have this darkness in us, when in fact, that's all a lie. You know, it's not true at all. It's just part of the ego dream that's using that to keep us convinced that we are these separate selves. So it's, you're actually in a really good spot with being able to touch that shame, that guilt, because for many of us, that stays hidden. And when it breaks through, that's the opportunity that we have to say, oh, I'm not going to turn away from this. I'm going to bring this to the light, and I'm going to be willing to let this be undone. So I can, if you didn't jot down that prayer that I said, I can send that out or maybe include that with the recording to this, because I think that's something helpful for all of us. I'll repeat it one more time. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank, whatever that may be, to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. That's from Nook Sanchez and her work, and it's just incredible. The other thing that I'll offer is in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, page 90, and I actually hear Paula's voice whenever I say page 90, because we've gotten so excited about page 90 over the years, and I don't have the page number for the other editions at the moment because page 90 is just burned in my brain. It's the prayer, I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. This is the key. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. That's another important piece for us to keep in mind, that it's our task to ask Holy Spirit to choose for God for us, because we don't know how. So it's always about turning to Holy Spirit and you know, leaving nothing hidden. So Margarita, I hope that was helpful. I'm so glad that you brought this up, because this is just such a beautiful opportunity, you know, to look at the hidden guilt that we all carry subconsciously in our minds.
Thank you.
There was another person who had put themselves into the Q&A queue that I didn't get to before I turned that off. I'm not sure who that was. Anybody else feel moved to share? We can go a little bit. I'm able to stay a little bit longer than 8 o'clock. So if other folks have questions or comments or insights, I would love to hear what's been helping you, if you have a question, anything, feel free to just speak up.
This is Clary.
Clary, you're next, and then I heard another voice that will go after you, so go ahead.
So I was experiencing some anxiety prior to the election day. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a combination of just stuff that was going on at work, other people telling me that they were feeling anxious. So I think it was kind of already like on my radar. And the day of, I was feeling very, very obsessed is the best word that I can think of. Like, it was just, it wasn't like I went in and cast my vote and then I released and was like, great, I'm going to go enjoy my day, look at the sun. I was just really like, I got to know what's going on. I mean, you know, and like, there was nothing really going on. So I was just like obsessed with something. It was just like, that was the best word, like obsession mode. And it's, I was in one of those places where like, I knew I was obsessed, but I wasn't like getting out of it, but I had some kind of awareness that I was like, okay, I'm obsessed right now. And now what I realized looking back is because I was already feeling anxiety, I had put a lot of my, and I think it, you touched on it when I heard you talking about the falling idol and like you're looking outside of yourself. So in my desperation to feel relief from my anxiety, I was definitely feeling like the result would cause some kind of release in myself. So I thought, if this is the result, that was exactly how it was phrasing in my brain. Like, great, when this person wins, then I can feel better. So it was definitely a total projection onto the external world of when I was going to feel better about all the stuff that was already going on inside of me. And probably I'm thinking some of it could have been I was already feeling the anxiety of everything else that was going on, not just in the world, but in the country and other people. But nonetheless, like there was a very deliberate almost projection of me saying like, okay, great, when this person wins, then I'm going to feel great because then I know that all my dreams can come true. And now looking back, I'm like, oh my goodness, like that was such a fail. Like, of course I'm going to be disappointed, you know? So when it didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out, it just, I climaxed in complete like despair. And the words that I used, I was lying there with my husband and I was like, I feel hopeless. And then I just started to cry. And he was like, oh no, what's wrong with you? And he was like, all of a sudden, like you just feel hopeless. And I realized, no, I said, I think it's just been everything building up. And I didn't realize all of this in the moment. But what I did realize is when you have that feeling of like, I must have thought something wrong, like that prayer you're saying, like I thought wrongly because now I'm feeling like this. So the first thing that I said, he of course is trying to fix it, you know, because that's what he does. And I'm thinking, I just immediately said to him, I just need a miracle. I don't know what it is, but I need a miracle. Like that's what's going to make it better. And then I think sometimes for me, I know as soon as I say that, it just completely releases me. Like I just know that I've given it up. Like I'm like, great, I no longer am trying to manage it. I gave it up to Holy Spirit. I gave it up to God. And slowly but surely, you know, it started to shift. Like even before, I hadn't found out what had happened. So I think I couldn't sleep. So the rest of the night, I kind of randomly obsessed over checking what had happened. And then at one point I realized, okay, I kind of know what's happening, so I don't know why I'm checking anymore. But the next day, you know, sometimes the miracle is just falling asleep. So I fell asleep eventually. And the next day I woke up, it was interesting because, I mean, I have so many different examples throughout the day, but I feel like you have that moment where you know you have shifted and then you start, it's like the veil slowly starts dropping. And I had different experiences with different people throughout the day. But there was a very, like I had a strong awareness that every experience, even though they varied, was I felt God letting me know, you know, that there was a oneness, that the fear was, that at least in my experience, like we say, you know, the healing of my mind was healing everyone at the same time. So like slowly I started to feel like the one interaction was really kind. And I have a feeling that I actually interacted with people that voted probably differently than me, but when they sensed my disappointment, they actually tried to help me. So I thought that was like, that was a huge miracle in my mind. I was like, wow, like, I don't think you kind of felt like I felt, but you seem to be very compassionate to my feeling sad about things. So that was huge because I didn't feel the separateness, you know, all of a sudden I felt like one, like, wow, like, yeah, you get it. Like, even though we feel differently about that, you get that. And they were, in other words, I think they showed up with love. They were trying to make me feel better. You know what I mean? So I think it was all became, some kind of experience that I had asked for the miracle for myself. And then slowly, as I started to have these experiences, I started to be able to look back and realize that I had separated. I know we separated, you know, from before, but that I had been experiencing separation. So I thought that I had experienced separation the moment that that happened. And then looking back, I realized, oh, hon, you were like in that from before. You know what I mean? Like you were having perceptions of separation from before. And, you know, like the one lady was saying, I was feeling the same way. I was feeling like, I'm a woman. This is ridiculous. I am Latina. How dare he? Blah, 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 blah. You know, all the stuff that I was saying. And at the same token, the other side, you know, that I was putting my hopes on someone because I'm like, this person's a woman like me. So I think I used it in both ways. Like I used it to, the separateness worked in both ways. That I was seeing myself more oneness with one person because of my experience of the body, and that the same way I was using those things to separate. So it's just interesting now to look back and be like, oh, the most funny thing that I think, and I say it's funny just because, you know, sometimes I feel like you just have to laugh because it just makes it better, but it's that I created all of that, you know, no one did that for me. And it makes me think of that one phrase that I found it today was where it says, I'm responsible for what I see. Mm-hmm. I chose the feelings I experienced and I decided upon the goal I would achieve. So I was totally like, okay, you created all of this. Like, no one did this to you. You know, you chose this and you chose that. And I think that's how now I look back. And so when I saw your email, I was like, yes, this is good. You know what I mean? Because I was like, these people are going to get it. And I mean, that probably is another set of separation. But, you know, it works for now. So I'm like, this is where I'm at. So this is what I need for right now. But I think I just want to continue to, I think this is a time, you know, and I love what you said. I think it's definitely an opportunity to go deeper and to get more hardcore about this stuff, because I definitely feel like it helps, you know, and when I know it helps, then I'm like, I have to go hardcore. So I appreciated that you said that, and I appreciate that you didn't, like, you know, dabble, like you were saying, because I'm like, yeah, this is not a dabbling kind of time. Like, I think you need to just get down and dirty, and I think that helps the healing of the world as well.
It does. I agree. Oh, Claudia, thank you so much for all that you shared. And I really resonate with so much of all of what you said, but particularly what you were saying about the idol fell. With and again, I'm just full disclosure, you know, Trump was very triggering for me. And if you felt differently, if you were happy, then, you know, that's still something to look at with Holy Spirit. But while all the campaigning was happening, I thought, I just need to get through Election Day and this will all be over. Like, I won't have to face it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I could avoid it, but then I couldn't. And that's why I think, you know, part of my reaction being so strong as it was and that idol falling so hard was that I thought I could, you know, avoid it, and I could not. Here it was now smack in my face that I had to look at this, but it gave me an opportunity that I would not have otherwise had the outcome been different. And so that's why this is so beautiful, that we have this opportunity to go deeper rather than digging our heels in into our ego viewpoints of how things should be. We dig our heels into God. We you know, firmly decide that I'm willing to see this differently. There's got to be another way. And that's, to me, what this is all about. You also said, you use the phrase, which I say all the time, how important it is that we are where we're at. We got to be exactly where we're at. And so everything that I said does not mean to not cry, to not celebrate. Like, we have to be where we're at. We can't skip over our feelings. We have to go through them. And wherever if we're called, if we feel we need to act in the world, if we feel like we need to do something out there in the external picture, do it, and do it with Holy Spirit, because we're then repurposing the whole situation to be used on behalf of awakening instead of on behalf of keeping us asleep. So we do what we need to do, and we do it with Holy Spirit. So there's also, you know, just one more thing that I'll add. How I said before that I thought, you know, I could avoid all of this. And I mentioned this when I was speaking earlier. The Course says the script is written. That the ego, you know, wrote the script the moment we had the thought of it, and it's over. It's done. We're actually already home, and we're just mentally reviewing what's already over, which is kind of mind-trippy to think about. But if that's the case, this is part of the script. There's no mistake that Trump was elected, as hard as that would seem to be. And you know, things like we've just talked about have to sometimes come to a head, get to a point where we'll take the next step, because it's too painful to stay where we're at. So for me, that means one of the ways that plays out is going much deeper with this material and just wholly dedicating myself to this work. So I thank you, Clary, for sharing. That was beautiful. Oh, awesome. Was there another, I feel like I heard another voice. Did somebody else have something to share?
So when that was me, Elisa Bargan.
Oh, hi.
So, something that it's more of a question in terms of, I've been trying to work with, how do I deal with other people's passions and upsets to where I find myself avoiding, you know, certain conversations with people because I'm so emotionally exhausted, you know, myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, because I respect that we all have to be where we are, I try and respect it, but at the same time, I don't necessarily want to at every, you know, every conversation be taken in like a wave of disappointment and all the evil stuff that people are saying is gonna happen. Granted, I feel those fears and all that already. So, how would you suggest to go about dealing with that component? I guess specifically, like, I want to engage. I like talking about, you know, relevant and important issues, but not getting too caught up in to where like. And I get emotionally exhausted pretty quick when it comes to certain things because I'm sensitive. I'm emotional anyway. But I've been battling with that, and right now I just have kind of been avoiding people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel comfortable doing that either. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the question, and I think again that's something I can relate to, and I think that's probably something that we can all relate to. It is so important, like you said, and actually, Alicia, I'm so sorry, but I think there's a lot of background noise coming from your line. If you wouldn't mind muting while I'm talking, that would just thank you so much, just to keep the recording clear. So you spoke about dealing with others, you know, wanting to avoid certain conversations, but yet, you know, not necessarily being comfortable with this. I kind of feel like you answered your own question in saying you have to be where you're at. For those of us who felt triggered by this on the negative side, there's going to be countless opportunities to get re-triggered. It's going to keep happening because this isn't going away anytime soon. And so if you feel you need to avoid and not engage, do that and don't feel guilty about it. Do that avoidance of that situation with Holy Spirit. Grab your book. Go sit and get quiet, do whatever it is that you have to do, and there's no reason to feel guilty about that. If you want to engage, we have to also look, you know, whether we're engaging or avoiding, we have to look at that with Holy Spirit. We have to look at what's behind that. If I want to avoid, is it because I'm feeling fearful and judgmental? Like, what is beneath that avoidance that I can look at with Holy Spirit? If I want to engage, what's beneath that desire to engage that I need to look at with Holy Spirit? Is that, you know, I'm feeling actually a little bit fiery right now and like a little bit like, you know, I kind of would like to argue maybe. I kind of like to, you know, stick up for certain things. If that's the case, look at that with Holy Spirit too. It doesn't mean that we don't have to engage. We have to be where we're at. We have to go through our lessons, but we can be that happy learner and not feel guilty about learning when we go through, when we go into our experiences with Holy Spirit instead of with ego. So it's Alicia, that is literally going to be a moment-to-moment decision for you to decide, for all of us to decide, are we going to engage? Are we going to avoid? Or is there, you know, a third option of
Corinne,
somewhere in the middle? Yes.
Can I just jump in here with this?
Because please.
Whoever the other person mentioned, all I need is a miracle. And let me because I've had the same. I have wonderful friends that I go to dinner with every Thursday night, but they're tea party people, and I made an excuse tonight not to go because there's no way I could even deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all we need going into those kind of situations is a miracle. And the minute she said that, I realized how controlling I want to be when I don't go into these situations expecting a miracle. It's really about letting go and allow, because, at work, I see every time I go into a situation at work, it's been my greatest learning opportunity. When I go in with the intention of expecting a miracle, I get it every time. And it is so, it amazes me every time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, whoever said that. All we need is a miracle. That's all.
Yeah.
But we've got to be willing and open to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Paula, you had, on our study group calls, on our Sunday night calls, at one point, you shared a really powerful example of your tea party friends. Not that you're getting together with tea, but they're members of the tea party. And you were expressing, you know, just some challenges there. And I remember you telling a story about going in there and expecting a miracle, and nothing played out the way that you thought it would. It was a beautiful experience instead because, you know, there was a shift there. And I just wanted to highlight that because that's what you're saying, and that's the importance of, you know, we can go into these situations and expect those miracles when we're coming from our right mind. If we're going into the situation not clear, you know, because there's hidden desire to attack, hidden desire to offend, if that's underlying our intention, then we're not going to see that miracle. We're just going to call forth what it is that is already within us. So I love how you said that, to go and expect a miracle.
Absolutely. But you must set the intention going in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important part of it. You must want peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is challenging to read. Do
things
I want peace or do I want to be right?
Exactly. Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Yep, you're absolutely right. And this is challenging. Things are kicking up. You know, the Source says, too, that it talks about the celestial speed up, that things, it's like we're living multiple lifetimes now in one, because, like, it's time to get moving. It's time to evolve. And so it's you know, if things feel like they're kicking up, it's all happening because it's an opportunity to heal. It's an opportunity to choose. And when the Course also says that discomfort is aroused to bring the need for correction into awareness. So if we're feeling uncomfortable, it's that part of our mind that's like, all right, we need to reorient back to God, back, you know, back with our mind, back to Holy Spirit, back to being willing to choose that miracle, because we're getting way off, way off into you know, ego. So I've always gotten comfort from that quote.
Hey, family.
Hey, Carla.
Hey. Hey, so wonderful to hear y'all tonight. I was debating, do I want to go to my Buddhist meditation tonight, or do I want to join in with my other family and get me some truth? Well, you can see what I decided. Yeah. Well, see, I woke up Wednesday morning, and I figured I didn't turn the television on until I went to the bathroom. No sense, you know, turning it on and risking the possibility of peeing on myself. So I just figured, let me go first. And then I turned the television on. So when I turned the television on and they had mentioned what, you know, the outcome was, I immediately I started to feel anxiety, but it wasn't as high as I thought it, well, as high as it could be, but I did feel some. And I sat down and I still allowed myself to, I reached for my Course, first of all, because I needed something besides what I was telling myself. And I reached for my Course. I can't exactly remember what it was that I was reading, but I did do that. And then I let myself sink into a really comforting meditation. And before I was able to do that, you know, I could hear, I don't know, the higher part of myself saying, now, are you going to give up your morning workout and your meditation and your prayer for this gentleman? Are you going to do that? And I thought, no, I'm not. See, I'm just coming out of the darkness. And, you know, I'm grateful. See, now that's my miracle, that I could even say those words without throwing up, because actually that's the truth today. And I'm just coming out of the darkness of my world, depending, the piece of my world, depending upon how someone sees me, thinks about me, treats me, likes me, et cetera. And namely, it was mostly in romantic, all the time in romantic relationships. And, you know, some friendships, too. And so I spent months, and I mean months, working on that with Holy Spirit, that I don't want my peace attached to somebody else, and especially somebody else that was crazier than me. You know, I don't want that. You know, I just don't want my peace. I didn't want my peace dependent upon whether somebody loved me or not. And I spent months getting into a deeper understanding with my God. And I spent months really just enjoying the presence of God in my life and seeing all the miracles that were taking place in my life. So when that situation came around, I just really, really believed that it's not, my happiness is not depending upon anything outside of me. It's my consciousness that's going to create all of the experiences that I have. And I also was able to get in touch with that this gentleman is, you know, he's the projection for the world now. He's the projection for my own thoughts of misogyny, my own thoughts of racism, you know, my own thoughts of division. That's the projection right there. And I had to pray about how I could see myself and this person differently. I need another way of looking at this. Perhaps there is another way of looking at this, and what can I lose by asking? You know, I thank you, Father, for your perfect Son, and in his glory will I see my own. And I started feeling myself welling up, you know, getting really emotional of pouring love onto this gentleman, because this is most likely a large healing opportunity for him too. You know, miracles happen, and he's not above them, and he's not bigger than God. And I really appreciate that today, you know, my thinking so far is ordered correctly, as evidenced by the peace that I feel today. So, and just continuing to feed myself the truth. I'm not saying that, you know, I want to sit down and watch the news. I don't watch the news anyway. But when it's brought up, and generally I'm not bringing it up, it's somebody else. I just smile and just keep walking, because I don't want to say anything disparaging about him, because I'm talking about me. You know, I want the peace of God for me. I want the peace of God for him. You know, and I want God's will to be done. And it looks like God's will is done. I don't know my own best interest, and I don't know that this is not a good thing for me. I don't know that, you know, so I'm going to believe that, you know, all things are working out in my own best interest. And that's taking me to lesson 135. I'll read this part really quickly. If I defend myself, I'm attacked. So what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step. Oh, Jesus, in every step you ever took, and while you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life. And that's what I'm standing on today. You know, that God would never offer pain to me. You know, that I am his friend. Complete, healed, and whole, shining in the reflection of his love. In me is his creation sanctified and guaranteed eternal life. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established without opposite. I am the holy home of God himself. I am the heaven where his love resides. I am his holy sinlessness itself. For in my purity abides his own. And there's no man that's going to change that. So, you know, it doesn't even matter what's going on the outside, what the form is doing. You know, it's the content that behind all of that. He's still a holy child of God. I just described him to you. And I always want to remember that. I always want to remember that. So, you know, despite what his perceived errors might be, I was listening to Regina Dawn Akers one day, and this really clarified a lot of things for me. She said, there's always love going on. There's always love. So even if it looks like somebody is making mistakes and somebody's doing things that, in my opinion, don't look right or sound right, et cetera, what they're doing is, it's the process of elimination. So Donald Trump is... that's his way of finding love. So, okay, I tried racism. I don't know if that's it. I tried misogyny. I don't know if that's it. But we are all looking for love. We're just going about it in different ways. So I need to be able to see beyond you know, the form and not be afraid of what somebody else's ego is doing. So I'm trying not to allow myself to be afraid of my own. So I'm still working on that, and I'm so grateful and much more grateful that, you know, the Holy Spirit is my ever-present comforter, and I want to hear what he has to say. So in the meantime, if I need to turn the TV off and not have conversations about that kind of stuff, well, then that's what I need to do, because I'm working with the Holy Spirit on strengthening my faith in what's real. And that's what I want today. So again, you know, I say that I thank you, Father, for your perfect Son, and in his glory will I see my own. Amen.
Amen. And thank you for that, Carla.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Wow.
You're welcome, family.
Holy shit.
So much better.
Me too. Me too.
Thank you, Corinne. I'm going to bed. God love you.
Thank you.
You know, Carla, I just thank you, and I'm so moved by what you said. I want to just highlight, it's funny, my stepdad used to say that this world is like a grand bazaar, and I mean, like, you know, the type of bazaar where, like, you know, there's things for sale and all sorts of different, you know, options for things, and I almost think of it as like a twisted sort of fair. This world is like a grand bazaar in that you can try out different things to think if they're to see if they're going to make you happy. So, you know, this lifetime, I'm going to see if being rich can make me happy. This time, let's see if, you know, this other situation can make me happy. And what you said, let me see if, you know, if this misogyny is the answer, if that's the love that I'm looking for, or let me try that instead. That really resonated with me and just really helped to, for me, take another step, look at another layer of this with the Holy Spirit. So I thank you. I thank you so much for sharing.
Definitely.
That was very inspirational.
How do I do get it off speaker?
Hi.
Hi, this is John Lucas. Is it okay to speak?
Yes, please. Jump in.
All right. I joined a little late. I'm sorry I couldn't get here early, but I've listened to you a lot, Corinne, especially with Amy Torres, who's a good friend of mine. So I just love listening to you, very down to earth. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
And this conversation about Donald Trump is so necessary, it feels like. But like, I guess, I hope what I'm going to say hasn't already been said, but whatever.
Go for it. We need to hear it again.
Yeah. This pit, like I'm sure everybody had yesterday in their stomach, was just like grieving. I mean, everything that I had, you know, hopes and advances and stuff. And I was just sick. I couldn't figure out how to get out of that because.
Is everything okay?
Sorry, John. One moment, John. Carol, I think your line is on speaker and perhaps unmuted. So if you wouldn't mind muting your line by pressing *6, that'd be great. Go on, John. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. And so anyway, I go to a meditation on Wednesday nights at the Unity Church here. And it just became so clear. I mean, I knew I had to get to that meditation. I always go, but I just was driven to get there. And I just sat down and it just started. The healing just washed over me. And I was, you know, I'm so clear that, thank God, I do not have to change Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is not my problem. I am my problem, because when I want to mentally attack, I am out of love. period. When I am out of love, I am separated from God. And it just, for me, it just was so clear that Donald Trump is my muse. He is my calling card. He is the doorbell for me to remember to go to love. Because when that frustration, that fever starts to overtake me, that's him shaking me awake, rattling me to go back to love, that I've simply walked away from it. It doesn't matter that he's racist, misogynist, you know, ignorant, whatever label I want to put on him, that's the fragmentation of my own attack thought. And all I have to do is remember to go back to love, not to love him, not to love or to hate him, but to be in touch with my own creative what is the word the course uses? I'm drawing a blank. Radiance, extension of love.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot be God, a part of God, if I'm not extending love. So when I'm not extending that, I'm separated. Regardless if it's frustration, anxiety, fear, anger, all those labels, they're just not love, period. And I just started laughing in the middle of this meditation because all of a sudden I was so grateful for Donald Trump because he was going to be my savior. He was going to bring me back to love every single time during the day that I got off, that I got off the love train, whatever you want to call it. And all day long, all I can say is I have had a smile on my face all day long, and people have come up to me and they go, "You must have voted for Trump because only the Trump people are smiling." And I just laugh. I'm like, "No, I really didn't." But there's no explaining it to them because I don't have to. This has changed my whole, at least day, but I had to say that out loud. And when I saw your email about tonight's call, I didn't know if I'd say anything or not, but I just had to share that because it has been such a powerful tool for me today for me to be grateful to Donald Trump for bringing me the love throughout the day, because I got off, you know, that beam many times today, but as soon as I was off, it was so clear to me when I was off. I mean, just this fever would overtake me, and then I would go, this is your job. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is your off the beam. You are out of love right now. And it's so simple once I realize that to get back to it. And again, it's not about projecting love towards Donald Trump or anything like that. It's about my own extension of love, regardless. You know, if I leave one out, I've left everybody out. So to try and pick apart the people that aren't in the love is, you know, just part of that story. So it's just, it has been an amazing day. Shocking. I'm shocked more than anybody else. That pit, that horrible grief is completely healed today.
Oh, John. Amen, brother. That was just so crystal clear and so profound. And I like calling them God bumps when you just get those chills because you're hearing truth. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing what you shared. Because I know you said you weren't sure if you were going to share. So that was incredibly, incredibly helpful to hear and so clear. I love what you said. That he's shaking us awake. He's rattling us to go back to love, and I'm with that. I am with that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Wow. Oh, anybody else still move to share?
I just want to say a few words, Corinne. It's nothing. Everybody has said it all. I just want to express. This is Homer. I just wanted to express my deepest gratitude first for you, for putting on this forum for all of us, but for everybody else too that has shared. I have been crying throughout this whole interview, this process that we've been doing today, and it's amazing because I was crying when I saw the election, but I'm crying for different reasons now. I'm crying out of a place of love and joy, and I'm so grateful to have all of you in my life, and thank you for helping me to see this another way and touch into the love in my own heart for this, rather than looking at this as a blind spot that can get in my way and, you know, for me to project onto one more time, one more thing that I can project onto, rather than looking inwardly at what needs to be fixed within myself. For that reminder, I thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, Homer, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, I just want to add that I've already experienced a huge healing because of this election. I previously, and this will tie in actually to what I want to say when we wrap up the call, but I previously have had a fear, which I think is very normal, for many of us who feel called to talk about A Course in Miracles. I've had a fear for years, which has subsided, of being attacked for what I'm saying, of, you know, of pretty much the ego voice thing. What are you talking about? You're nuts, that sort of thing, in whatever way that may take. And that fear has subsided greatly because, you know, I do video blogs now and I share in a lot of different ways. But I've noticed it popping up here and there. This turnout of the election, as John said, shaking me awake, rattling me to go back to love, I now feel this conviction that I've not felt before to be used to let the love flow through me, to literally give my entire life over for God to use my voice, my eyes, my ears, my body, everything, that's my purpose. And the fear of speaking firmly about Course principles has just dropped away. It's like, okay, you know, that's done. This is now, I'm now so focused because of this outcome on love, on remembering love, and how beautiful is that? So, Homer, thank you. Thank you. I feel that same gratitude. Oh, anybody else feel moved to share?
Corinne, it's Deidre.
Deidre, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the call. It's been so, so, so beautiful. And I just wanted to share just the synchronicity. I also woke up in the middle of the night at the same time that everyone else did. And I felt a deep sense of anxiety as well when I first heard the news. And then when I feel that now, my first step is to tune in to spirit and ask, what is it that I need to know? What is it that this is showing me? And the message that I received was so clear that, I had been looking at this, you know, I thought as a person on a spiritual path that I'd been looking at it with spiritual eyes, but I'd actually let that drop away. And I, I thought I knew what the picture should look like. I thought I knew what a loving outcome should appear to look like. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big piece of it. And then the second piece was I heard Spirit in my mind tell me, be willing to see this outcome as a blessing. Be willing to see that this is actually love. There's a line in the Course that says, love isn't everything I see. So be willing to see exactly what is going on as love. And when I heard that, I went, wow, just like everyone else is sharing on this call right now, Donald Trump, the symbol, is being used on behalf of our awakening. And when I got that, it was like everything just dropped away.
Mm. Oh, wow. I'm getting such goosebumps from all of your shares. So good. Wow, Deidre, that's awesome.
So the things that people have been sharing, you know, like, wow, I'm looking at my own belief in racism or my own belief in separation here or there, or because I'm a woman or because I'm a member of the LGBT community or whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming up for us to look at those things because Spirit is not those things.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit is what we are. That's it, and that's all.
Mm.
So thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you. You know, thank you, everyone on this call. Thank you, you know, everybody, for being the teacher. Everything is our teacher. So.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, amen to that. Thank you, Deidre. Let's maybe take one more person if anybody has anything to say, and then I'll wrap us up. Any insights, any questions, or perhaps maybe we've reached our conclusion, which I think we have. Oh, yes.
This is Francine.
Hi, Francine.
I just want to thank everyone for sharing and for having this call. I'm getting very teary here, but I just feel that, for me, a miracle has occurred because I came onto this call with how can I possibly look at this any different other than anger and fear. And I'm actually ending this call with love in my heart for this guy. My opinion, a miracle has happened. So thank you, everyone.
Oh, thank you, Francine. I feel the same way. And remember, if we stray, we can always listen to this recording again. We can get quiet. We can turn to our books. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I do have a few things that I just want to share as we wrap up this time together. And although we're concluding tonight, obviously any of you are always, always welcome. And many of you do come to the Sunday night study group that we do here on this same conference line on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. But I want to just share another course quote. If you want to follow along, this is from lesson 98. We're going to read two paragraphs from lesson 98, and then I have one more quote to share in just a few words. So this part of lesson 98, the lesson is, I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. And the two paragraphs that I want to read, paragraphs 3 and 4, are about taking a stand. And we're talking about taking a stand for love with a capital L, taking a stand for firmly planting our feet in Holy Spirit's camp instead of the ego's camp. That's what I talk about. That's what I mean when I say taking a stand. So we're going to read paragraphs number 3 and number 4 in lesson 98. The guiltless have no fear, for they are safe and recognize their safety. They do not appeal to magic nor invent escapes from fancied threats without reality. They rest in quiet certainty that they will do what it is given them to do. They do not doubt their own ability because they know their function will be fulfilled, they know their function will be filled completely in the perfect time and place. They took the stand which we will take today, that we may share their certainty and thus increase it by accepting it ourselves. They will be with us. All who took the stand we take today will gladly offer us all that they learned and every gain they made. Those still uncertain too will join with us, and borrowing our certainty will make it stronger still. While those as yet unborn will hear the call we heard and answer it when they have come to make their choice again. We do not choose but for ourselves today. And again, this stand that we're taking of putting our feet planted firmly in Holy Spirit's camp, we're not doing this for ourselves alone. We're all helping each other. Every gain that you make, you're making for all of us. Every gain that I've made for all of us. And I want to share the same quote that I started the call with. Into this hopeless and closed learning situation, which teaches nothing but despair and death, God sends his teachers. And as they teach his lessons of joy and hope, their learning finally becomes complete. God needs you as a teacher. When I talked about, you know, literally the belief in the world being undone in our minds and how the Course is leading us out of the world, not just to be happy, you know, in a happy ego dream, we will not get whisked away. That used to be my fear. I used to be like, oh my gosh, if I ace the Course, I'm just going to, boom, not be here anymore. And that's not true. I've learned that this is gentle and that we won't be whisked away because God needs us, just like all of those who have taken the stand that we're taking now, and all those who will. Holy Spirit, our right mind, our truth, needs our voice, needs our light to be here on behalf of healing the world. Every broken fragment of the sonship out there is us, and we're all going to go home together. So we have a job to do. We have a job to do as miracle workers in turning to Spirit within in the face of fear, in the face of anger, in the face of suffering, because we have agreed to come into this ego dream, to allow ourselves to be awakened and to awaken others. So we go to this piece two by two to teach us to learn. Let's rise to the occasion. As John said before, let's be shaken awake. It's okay to be rattled because we're going back to love. This is a divine opportunity, and this wouldn't be happening right now had the outcome of the election been different. So I am joined with you in saying no to fear in all its forms, to choosing again each time we slip back into ego, and we are literally helping each other. We're reaching down to one another, helping each other take that next step up, that ladder that we previously descended down. We're now ascending, and we're helping each other hand by hand. So I love you all so much. I'm so grateful that we joined together this evening surrounding this topic. This has helped me enormously. Stay connected. Feel free to join on Sunday nights, and I will see you all around. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Corinne.
Thank you.
Have a
great
night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you, Corinne. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you again, Corinne.
Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
You too, sweetheart.